Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
I'm excited to be here. I drove up today. Little synopsis about me. I am from hence the twang, okay? It's going to pop through a little bit. I promise you, as I said to everybody, I'll translate for you later. If you miss something, just come on back, and I promise you, I'll make it clear as rain, okay? That's one. But I go to school out in Oklahoma, so I had the chance to go home before I came up here. I drove and was able to figure it out, and so I go home, you know, and so I'm at home, and I was supposed to go to the gym, but you ever get distracted on the way to the gym? You know what I mean? Like, everything somehow pops up on your way to do something that you don't want to do, but you know you need to do. So I drive by my school on the way, right? And so I know they're practicing. I did it for 4 years. I know we got summer workouts. It's now finishing up the lift. They're about to go on the field. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go pop in. Also, my free membership through my sister, she didn't wake up in time for the gym. And so I was going to have to pay. But I knew if I went there, I could go for free if I played my cards right. So I had a little bit of a double-sided sword there while I was going to the practice. And I go to the practice. I'm enjoying it. Of course, I don't know none of the players no more because I'm old and I'm unk, apparently. I know. I wasn't trying to be like that. I'm sorry. I know. I'm old to them. Okay? But what happens is one of my old coaches comes in and we start talking. We're just chatting up and everything, but then we start to have one of the saddest conversations that anybody can have. It's called a what-if conversation. It's one of the saddest conversations that you could ever possibly have in your life because it's what if I usually had done something different, or what if I had usually done something a little bit more? What if I had pushed in a little bit more when I pulled back instead? What if I'd have done the difficult thing and pressed in rather than sat in the crib and the lazy boy with an iced tea in my hand? You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't. Maybe that's just me. A little salty. But hey, so the title of this sermon, like when I first was, I was like full surrender, but I really started thinking about it. It's what if? What if? And I want you to hold on to that. I want you to really ask yourself, you know, question throughout today, like, what if? So the thing about it is, with surrender, it's a term around a lot. You know, it's one of them quote-unquote church words. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's them church words where you say it, and you don't necessarily fully know what it means, right? We just love to say it and kind of let it float in the air, and then you get about two shouts, a hallelujah, somebody takes off, and you feel good. It just makes you feel some kind of way. You know, surrender. We got multiple syllables. So you sound edumacated. You know what I'm saying? It's surrender. But I looked it up as a noun. Property or document into the custody of another. Okay? So if you'll turn with me to Romans 12, okay? Hey, I like that. Y'all a hollaback church. Y'all know what that means? I say something, you holler back at me. Makes me feel like having a conversation. Awesome. But in verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's not outlandish. For some people, you ain't tripping by doing this. For other people, this is totally understandable. It is your reasonable service, okay? But the thing is about this word, and you know, there could be, you know, full-length mirror right in front of me. I'm preaching right back at me as well. You know what I'm saying? I think it's something we all have to step into, but are we fully surrendering? Do we fully relinquish all of who we are? Are we truly a living sacrifice, or are we up on that altar and we kind of squirming a little bit? Because sometimes, maybe not y'all, sometimes I'm up there like a fish caught on a Sunday. Y'all laugh, y'all don't even know what that means yet. But it's when you catch that fish and that sucker cooked, took you 20 minutes to get off the hook, it's sitting there, right? Then all of a sudden, it starts flopping again. And it flop, 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 and it might even go off the boat back into the water. So I have this tendency, you know, we can be really surrendered on that Sunday morning. Hand lifted, everything I'm got. And then by the end of the day, I start wiggling a little bit on that altar. I start low-key kind of start sliding off, and now I'm off to the races. I'm gone. I'm out. Whoop, peace. Okay, maybe just me. Maybe just me. But what I'm saying is we have this tendency because we have to keep going back, right? Because if you look at it in verse 2, it says you'll be transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't say you're just going to have a renewed mind. The renewing. It's a consistent thing. Every single day you to yourself and you pick up a cross and carry that mug. You carry that thing. You every single day it's a choice. It is a choice. However, the more you use it, the easier it will become, because now once you, the thing about obedience is the more you practice it, the easier you are to listen to it, the easier you are to adhere to it, the easier are you to fall into line to it. Does that make sense? The more pushback you get, the more often this and that, I don't know, fair weather, you start to get in this conundrum of now you know what both sides feels like. And for some reason, we only look at the good when it comes to the world, and we don't necessarily turn a blind eye to the bad, but all we want to see over here is the bad and turn a blind eye to the good when making decisions sometimes. As my grandfather would say, work with me, people. Work with me, people. That's what he would. Because here's my question. Are we fully surrendered? And maybe we don't know what that fully means. And it might be, at this point in time, different for everybody. But are you giving them, man, Pastor, you got Sunday, 10 to 12. Soon as that clock hits, Wings has a special on them wings. The game going to be on each TV. I'm there. I am there. Brother, I ain't talking about you. I know. So what really happens is instead of sacrificing all of you, you find that time that you're comfortable with giving to him, almost like community service. You feel like it's okay. I know I can give that time to him because that don't affect me. That don't affect when my soaps are on. That don't affect when my TV drama on. That don't affect when my Netflix schedule really, because I watch that at night, but that's okay. You know what I'm saying? That don't affect nothing like that. All my friends, they ain't even up at 10 o'clock on a Sunday because we was all out last night. But, you know, I'm limping in here. Got my shades on. I'm in the back. Just don't take a whiff of me. I just pray you don't take a whiff of me. Or maybe I'm just talking to nobody. But what I'm saying is a living sacrifice is all of you. It's the entirety of who you are. Because there again, what if? But there's a huge difference between a full sacrifice and a partial sacrifice. Now listen, I can't help it. I played ball for a long time, and I'm going to let you know right now. There's a difference in a player that fully bought into something. There's difference in people at work that are fully bought into the vision, fully bought into things, or they partial. Because you know what partial means? Pick and choose. Because partial means that they're going to be there for the year. They're going to be there for the free food, right? And they want to be there for game day. But ain't neither of them want to be at 6 a.m. practice. Neither of them want to lift the weights. Or coach is gone, who's staying after? There's a partiality to it. I'm going to translate that for you, though. They want to be there on Sunday morning. Sure going to be there on homecoming when the food out. With a to-go box. You know what I'm saying? Let's not get it twisted. They ain't leaving empty-handed. They came in. They brought the napkin cups, and you know they brought a whole casserole home. Don't you play with me. They brought the napkins and the cups. They got totes. Pastor, they had to back up the car. They had to load it in there. They had to stack it up. It's playing a little Tetris in the back. And then, that Saturday morning service project the church want to do? I can't even do it. I'm sorry. Phone died. Phone died. Alarm didn't go off. I'm so sorry. Okay, maybe I'm stepping on some toes. But I don't mean to step on toes. I will clip your toenails a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'll get close, but I won't hurt you now. The thing is, there's a huge difference. And a lot of times that difference in playing games is the difference between the difference between obedience and disobedience way more. But it's way more in different things. God trusts us in the little things, it's in the big things. But you're being unfaithful and unsacrificial in the little things. You're yearning for big things, you're believing for big things, but you're not yet trusted for big things. Disgruntled. Now you frustrated. Now you like, God, where you at? He was like, where was you? We had a schedule. I asked you to be there. But the thing is, what happens is we have this hindrance. And that's okay. People don't live the exact same life you did. You know what I'm saying? That's a good thing. Because you can either learn from them. For the Bible tells me so. You know what I'm saying? So, turn to Jeremiah real quick with me. Flipping on over. 10 verse 23. And it says, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The way in which God has for you is not going to look like what the world has for you. You are going to look different. That walk is going to look different. If you look around, and everybody with you, I don't know if you were you supposed to be. Because normally when I'm with the biggest crowds of people, I'm in places I shouldn't have been. And I'm not necessarily doing, and here, some of us are doing things we shouldn't be doing, but some of us aren't doing things, but we where we're not supposed to be. And so what happens is, though, the longer you're where you're not supposed to be is then giving it more effect on what you're not supposed to be doing. So it can start out as, oh, I'm just here, but I'm not doing what they're doing. But then what slowly can happen is, well, now I'm just here. I'm just doing it a little bit. But then it's like when you catch a fish. You caught the fish this big. It starts to grow over time. And how much you doing, you know, you start growing. Now you caught a big old swordfish in the pond out by the golf course somehow. But what I'm saying is it starts here, but it's a slippery slope to how far we can go because it's a day full sacrifice. It's a full sacrifice. Going to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. It also says, my son, give me heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. So here it's saying, give me your heart. It doesn't say let me rent it on the weekend. Don't let me rent it on them service times. You know what I'm saying? Now listen, I was not paid to preach this. He has no idea. Just let you know. So if you're feeling something, that's the spirit, as I would say. That's the spirit getting on the inside of you. But thing is, the withholding of it is actually capabilities. Think the full surrender of it, oh, it's going to cost you so much. It's going to cost me so much. It's going to cost me these friends, this relationship, that job, that promotion. Maybe I can't go down and hang with all the people after work where all these people come and buddy-buddy and now they're trying to get the promotion and I can't go there no more. Or maybe I want to be able to grow this group and grow in this friend group and all this stuff, but they start to do things I don't really want to do. Or maybe these people just start tripping. As my pastor says, people be peopling. You'll catch that tomorrow. Somebody will be peopling. You're like, people do be peopling. They just be peopling, right? I mean, they just do what they do. They just be peopling. And so that's the thing we got to be careful for, because like I said, it's a small margin. It's a small margin. You can do 98% surrender and that 2% affect your whole life and mess it all up. Samson, he had it. You know what I'm saying? He had the locks. He had the hair. You know what I'm saying? He had the muscles, you know, Hercules. You know, he was strong, man. He was, woo! Man, them ladies were falling over him. You know what I'm saying? But there was this one girl that, whoo, she just saw his eye. He fancied her, if you will. And her name was Delilah. You know what I'm saying? Delilah. And so the thing about it is, you know, he entertained her. He saw her as part of the world. You know what I'm saying? And she tried to get him. He tried to trip him up. I mean, he tried. But she was fine with it. Devil ain't going to come in a scarecrow mask. He's going to come in a pretty package. Whatever that pretty package look like, it's going to look like that. You know what I'm saying? Promises and more, all this stuff. He ain't ugly. He ain't stupid. You know what I'm saying? He's going to come purdy, okay? Purdy, all dolled up, ready to be. And so what happened is, though, Samson, you know, teases it. And guess what? All this ain't happening in public. Where's this happening? In the tent. It's happening in his tent. It ain't in that 9-to-5. It ain't out there in the lot. Nah, it's them after hours. It's night time. And you know, like he's playing with it. Control. Yeah, that addiction, I got that under control. Oh yeah, that bad show, like I know the bad stuff, but I don't let that affect me. Like I'm strong in the faith. I'm strong. I'm not going to let that affect me. It's not going to affect me. No, that's okay. Oh, it's just every now and again. It's not, you know, like there again, it's them late night. And I call it a pet sin, because you think you got it on a leash. You think you're controlling it. You just petting it. You play with it. You entertain it. But guess what? Pet going to die if you don't feed it, but you feed it. You water it. You know what I'm saying? You kind of take care of it. You love it. You snuggle with it sometimes, depending on what it is. And so that's what he's doing. And so that's what he's doing. He's petting it. He's taking care of it. He's like, you know what? She's going to be okay. Like, here, do this. And then guess what? She does it. And he's getting the hurt of it. He's like, ha, ha, ha. She's playing with me. Okay. It was a close call that time. Okay. I'm just going to keep doing it. Keep doing it. Every single time the sin backfired, but because I got it under control, I'm not going to really sacrifice this part. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do the purpose, but I got this little thing. Nah, that's just for me. That's that's my side thing. You know what I'm saying? Whatever that thing is, that's my side thing. That's not my main thing. Jesus, my main thing. That's just the side. That's just the side. That's just the fries. You know what I'm saying? You start eating too many fries, moment on the lips. They forever on the hips. And so that's what I'm telling you. Them sides low-key be dangerous, because they don't seem dangerous until the effect is hit. So then all of a sudden this dog got a little bit bigger than his bot. And now it's overrun him. And he fell. And he was 98% fully sacrificed. But that 2% got him. But it wasn't initially. It was over time. It just wore him down. Just wore him down. Go to Luke chapter 12, verse 2 through 3. I'm going to go there. Luke chapter 12 says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." This is exactly what happens to Samson. But wait a minute. Hold on. Samson was the Old Testament. That's not us. That's the Old Covenant. That's different. That, I tell you right now, that's different. That church over there, it's different. You know what I'm saying? Podcast, that Instagram said, that's different. That's Jesus talking. And then words in red don't change. Okay? And then words in red, they hot sauce. Because hot sauce kick one or two ways. It either adds to the flavor if you got it right, or it can burn you if you ain't doing it right. If you put that mug in your eye, it going to hurt. But you putting it in the wrong application. Okay. So what happens is, what you do in the dark is going to come to light. This is saying that that's for a fact. So don't fool yourself. Oh my gosh. And I'm speaking to me. I see me right now. Boom. I'm looking at me. Fool yourself. Sapsucker. I had the sapsucker for me. That's not for y'all. That's for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm looking at me. Because the thing is, it's so easy to rationalize. It's so easy to rationalize. But you know who else rationalized? Saul. Saul was king. Saul was doing his thing, if you will. You know what I'm saying? He was chosen. Israel's first king. He looked good. He was strong. He did all the right things. He had it all together, right? Then, as they say down where I'm from, he got too big for his britches. And so what happens is now there's certain things that come up. The Lord's like, hey, I need you to do this. But now he's like, whoa. It's going to be all right. I got a handle on this. Because what happens is full surrender has to come every single day. Because yourself, your sin, your flesh is going to try to come and rear its head every single day. So the full surrender isn't the one time and that's it. It is a consistent decision every single day. But anything you do is a consistent decision every single day. It's not like, oh, I decided to go to the school. Like I commit, like, you know, the kids, they, or kids, me, they commit to go play to school. Well, that doesn't mean that everything's done for them. Every single day, they got to decide to go to that class, go to that lift, go to that practice. But for you, you committed to a job. You got a J-A-B, if you know what I mean. But you got to commit to going on that Monday. And guess what? You got to go back on a Tuesday. And then Wednesday. But each single day is a commitment or an example of your commitment and dedication to, are you fully sacrificed? It's every single day. And what happens is we skid by. And so then Sunday is, it's a restart. So we get to reset. But what's going to happen is that tread on them tires is not going to make it to Sunday on time. And that tread on them tires, you're going to get in big trouble before you get back to that Sunday refilling. It's going to be bad. You're going to get caught in the middle on like a Thursday. And you're gonna be up in trouble because you didn't surrender that day and something beautiful just came your way and it's all gucky on the inside. But you ain't gonna know. But if you're built up and sacrificing, you wouldn't have touched it anyway. But Saul did this. And Saul did this. I've done this. By golly, a lot of people did this. God asked them to do something. Saul did. But instead, he sacrificed. He was supposed to take care of all these Amalekites, take care of everything. But his pride, you know, that pride kicked in. So he didn't fully do it. Instead, he offered all these sacrifices. Like, glory be to God, I'm offering all these sacrifices unto him. A sacrifice will never be greater than your obedience to Christ. So what happens is God told you to do something, but you don't want to do it. You don't want to do that. So instead, God, like, what you mean you don't want me to watch this show? What you mean I can't listen to this music no more? Nah. So I'm going to do that a little bit, but I'm going to give you more time in my work. Or I'm going to start going to church on that Wednesday and that Sunday night too. But like, I'm not going to do this, but I'll this, we bargaining. The person you bargaining with is you. Because sacrifice, like what do you think God says to do this? I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to go do this. And I'm going to do more effort here. Because this is the lane. This is where I want to do it. This is where I want to sacrifice, right? Like, don't touch that. But this, you can take more. I'll give you more of this. I'll give you more of this. This more sacrifice is not negating probably the reason of why obedience is necessary. This is already present. It's already happening. But we bargain and we try to rationalize and we try to make it happen for ourselves because we don't want to give this up. We don't want this to give up. But the up is diverting your attention, is diverting your energy, and it's distracting you from actually giving more life into these areas that are going to bring more life into you. And so what's happening is you're not living to your fullest potential because you're over here wasting time and energy into something that has no fruit. Something that has nothing returning to you, and it's stealing. You don't see it, but it's stealing. Stealing. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what happens is, in John 15, we learn we all bear fruit. We're all bearing fruit. We're all yielding fruit in our lives. Everything you do is a fruit. But what happens is you're going to be known by your fruit. So that means there's bad fruit and good fruit. So imagine a branch. Actually, I did this. I did this with my youth. All right. I got 24 M&Ms. Okay. And I got three people. Please don't answer unless you're sure. How many M&Ms does each person get? Eight. Okay. So I'm sending eight units of energy to each person, to each fruit, if you will, okay? God tells me to get rid of something. Maybe God's telling me you need to cut, maybe you need to cut this habit at your life, okay? Maybe it's a sinful habit. Actually, let's do this. This relationship at your life. It's not a good relationship. I need you to cut this at your life. You're like, God, that, and guess what? For that moment, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt for a second. It's going to hurt for a second. But guess what? He gone. So now I got two. So now how many M&Ms they getting now? 12. I'll help you. Praise God. They're both now getting 12. So each one of them just increased by 4 units of my energy, time, and dedication. Okay? So watch this. God might be like, you know what? This is not necessarily a bad habit. Maybe it's being on the game, playing video games. Maybe it's, you know, you come home and you're talking with your friends for hours, and maybe hours on top of that. And it's not inherently bad, but it's not fruitful. It's not bringing the fruit you want, and there might be something God's preparing you to be able to receive, but you can't receive it yet until you give this up because you don't even have your resources in the right place. Because if he is wanting to bless this God and this fruit, but you are kind of doing this mediocre fruit right here, you're robbing what God wants of resources to help this flourish. So what happens? You finally surrender that. How many M&Ms is this person getting? 20. Praise God. 24. So guess what? If you think about this as a fruit, if this person's now getting 100% of all the nutrients that she used to be splitting up to three, it's going to grow bigger, more effective, and it's going to reap a bountiful harvest. And that's potentially the harvest you've been praying for. But you don't even understand other things are stealing energy away from that that you might not even realize. And you're not going to realize until harvest comes and that fruit is not bigger. What if? What if? The thing that you really want from God is on the other side of your sacrifice of that to be able to get to that fruit. What if? And then later in life you can look back and listen, what could have been? Really could have been. What if? What if? It's a staggering question. It really is. It really is. Because I bet you when I said that, everybody has a what if. What if I'd have locked in a little bit? What if I'd have treated this person better? What if I wouldn't have been so quick to jump the gun? What if I'd have chose forgiveness first? What if I would have like really took that time instead of filling it with just whatever I wanted to fill it? What if I really got dedicated to the Lord? What if I really listened to the Lord and didn't say yes to all that money, but took the job that was less money, but he said, I'll take care of you in that? It's little things. It's little things. But here's the thing. Here's the thing as well. And I know. I know he get frustrated with me. Why'd y'all laugh? You don't know me. No, I'm just playing. Drill. No, you should laugh. I've made some rough decisions before in my life. But what is your sacrifice, and there's things that his sacrifice on the cross has bought and paid for you, and there's things that when you're a living sacrifice for him, you have. But you're getting disgruntled. You're like, God, I've been sacrificing. Some of y'all might be like, I've been sacrificing. I give 110%. I don't even give 110. Anybody's ever getting 110 and they're the only ones telling you they're getting. I'll let you know that right now. There's some things we don't say, you know, like the other day I told. So I'm bouncing back and forth. And I was like, I said there's no bad ideas. I took that statement back. And I said, there are bad ideas. I'm just not going to tell you it's one in this moment. That's what I'm going to do. That's my promise. I'm not going to tell you it's a bad idea in this moment, but there are some bad ideas. Okay? So I take that. I don't know. It's for your enjoyment. Congratulations. That one's free. That one's free. Congratulations. Put that one in your pocket. You know what I'm saying? But what happens is we've already gotten free from things. So you're sacrificing in this season of your life. You're free from something, right? But you're like it still has this hold on me. It's like I've prayed. I brought it to God. I brought it on this altar. I've laid it down. But like, it still whispers them sweet nothings in my ear. It still whispers, psst, come on back. It'll be better. I've changed. I promise. I love you. Come here. And it could be anything. It could be anything. Or anyone. I don't know. Hey, I leave town tomorrow. Don't be mad at me. But look. That's also what I learned from my granddad. If you leave last night, you just let it fly. You just let that sucker fly. You don't know. But look. But here's the thing, though. Some of us are like, man. Some of us are holding on to broken chains. So the chain was broken when you surrendered it. When you were fully surrendered, that chain got broken. That addiction got broken. That bad situation got broken off of you. It had no dominion on you. But you are holding on to a broken chain. And it's your sacrifice, your full surrender, that is waiting on to fully let go of that chain. Some of us are in false bondment. Some of us are in false imprisonment. Some of us think we're locked up. And we free as a bird. But we holding on to that chain. Just because, and I want to get this right, because it's on here. Just because it's always been, doesn't mean it always has to be. No. As we say, you know, let that sink in. Because, I mean, it hit me. Because what happens is we get this rationalization like, oh, it's always been like that. Or we've always done it like that. It's like, it's all, you know what? That thing's always been in my life, always will be in my life. It is my thorn in my side. And I do declare it's just going to be there the rest of my life. Right? Or it's that person. He just coming around again. He be trifling. He always be coming back. He be going away. He be coming back. He just always going to be there. Or maybe it's different. Maybe it's somebody that you know is always going to be there and you exploit that for your own purpose. Are they going to be there when I get back? It's okay. They're going to be there when I get back. Or maybe it's addiction. You know, it's going to be there. It's always, you know what? That's always ran in my family. It's always been. It doesn't mean it has to be. Because when you got saved, you became a new creation. So anything that was previously holding, previously a part of your identity, Okay? It ain't got no hold on you. It is not a part of your new identity. Because your new identity says you're the righteousness of Christ. And your new identity is fully in those 66 books. So there is no more. Honestly, back home, we call that a cop-out now. Because now you know that some of y'all are holding on to it for comfort because you scared and kept out in faith without it. It's like a 16-year-old having bicycle training wheels. It's time to take them suckers off. And here's the thing. It's limiting your speed, them training wheels on the bike. It might hurt your ankle sometimes. It's making you pedal more. It's actually causing you more harm. It gives you a false sense of comfort in your mind, so you're going to let it be. Because you don't want to take that step out in faith and see what life can be without it because you're so comfortable with what life is with it and where your life is in that situation that you don't even want to know what freedom looks like because you don't know if you can handle the freedom, but you know that you can handle the freedom because God promises you can. But you want to be comfortable. Because guess what is on the other side? When you step into fully what God has for you, there's going to be responsibility. Good. There's going to be breakthrough and blessings. But with breakthrough and blessings comes more obedience, more surrender, more opportunities. But more opportunities also more opportunities and blessings brings more attention and attraction. attraction. And guess what that sucker, guess who's attracted by it? The enemy. Because anytime you're doing good, he's the first one to show up to throw you off. So if you're getting attacked right now, I'd rejoice personally. If you're like, man, you don't even know what I'm going through, I'd be like, aren't you ready? Because every time I watch a movie, it gets worse right before the end finishes up and it's better. You just looking at your story from the wrong perspective. You looking at it as a finite moment, but in reality, it's a story of a long thing. You looking at chapter 3, but chapter 4 is coming. Right. Chapter 4 is coming. There's more to it. There's more that you have in the tank. There's more that he wants to do for you. There's more. But your lack of surrender, your lack of trust, your lack of faith, and being a living sacrifice is keeping you exactly where you are. Exactly where you are. But your unrenewed mind wants to stay exactly where it is. Your renewed mind wants to push more, because when you push, there's more that God has for you. It's in the pressing in when there's more has for you, more oil, more anointing, more. You're going to see more. You're going to be more. You're going to be able to unlock more through your obedience and press in. It's all available to you, but your mind is hindering you from taking certain steps of faith, cutting certain things off, and you can't freely go. You're free. But the act of not renewing your mind keeps you in bondage. It's an open jail cell, if you will, but your mind has said, this bench is comfortable, I'm going to take me a little seat. But that cage door, wide slap open. I could drive a Mack truck right through that sucker. Ever since you've been saved, it's been open. But there's good news. Somebody say good news. Woo. God is a redeemer. And not only is he a redeemer of you, he's a redeemer of the time. So you might be upset, like, man, I really wasted some time. It's okay. God's a redeemer of that time. God is faithful. God is there waiting. Once your surrender goes, oh, we're making up for lost ground, baby. We're going the full way. Okay? Turn 2 Peter 3:9. We're going to rifle off some scriptures real quick. Y'all ready for that? All right, good. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting. You can't un-outpatient God, okay? But quit making him wait so long. He's got things to do. You got things to do. Some people want to just take all the wait time. I don't understand. How happy do we get when they say, hey, you'll get seated in 45 minutes and 20 minutes later, you're seated? I get excited, okay? That means I get food faster. I ain't never seen somebody be like, no, I want to wait longer. You told me 45 minutes, I want 50. I ain't never seen that. So let's quit. Let's quit tripping. Let's quit slacking. Let's. God ain't don't need to wait on us so much, so long no more. You know what I'm saying? Have them wait times going down. Okay. All right. Next, 111:9. You know what I'm saying? I told you we going fast. Turbo. He sent redemption. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus on the cross for redemption. That's all in that word redemption. He sent redemption unto his people. Are y'all his people? He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. And David's talking about the old covenant. So if you don't know, so old covenant, Old Testament. New covenant, when Jesus dies, resurrects. Now we're in the new covenant. The best of the old covenant is the floor of the new covenant. So everything in the Old Testament that you're like, man, that's really good. Your floor so much more. Let's get to the so much more. Ephesians 1:7. I know y'all are already there. I know y'all are efficient. I'm trying to be like y'all. All right, Ephesians 1:7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ooh. According to the riches of his grace. Okay, so we have redemption through his blood. Don't go there. I'm just going to let you know. In chapter 14, Leviticus. It talks about how precious blood is. And blood actually holds all life in it. Something without blood ain't beaten. Okay? So that means that when Christ died for your sins, he gave all of his essence, all of who he is, and now that is what covers you. So when God sees you, he sees the blood covering you, but if you check the DNA of the blood that's covering you, it's Christ. So when he sees you, he sees Christ. Okay? So that means when you go to him and you go to him with requests, you go with him and say, man, I messed up. Like, I apologize. Like, I'm here. That blood is covering you, and he sees you as a sinless, spotless lamb. Because Christ is a redeemer, he bought that for you. He purchased that for you. And guess what? For you, it's free. It's free. And because of that fact, in 12 Romans, it is a reasonable service. That gift, that act of love, should prompt you into the service of sacrificing yourself every day for God and being a living sacrifice for him. His identity's on you. You might as well act like him. Honestly, every day you're trying to make your body match the blood that covers you. You're trying to get the identities right. He loves you, and he wants you to win. And if you don't know that, nobody would give all of themselves. Listen, my dad, mama, listen, they let me play travel ball. I wasn't that good, okay? I wasn't good at baseball. But, man, they gave me all they had. They wanted me to win. They gave it, you know what I'm saying? But they didn't give me life. He gave his life so you could do this thing. And with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. It's in a relationship. It's not 50-50. It's 100 and 100. Okay? Except his 100 never changes. Our 100. He laid it all out on the line. And all he's asking for is your obedience and be a living sacrifice for him, because he was a full sacrifice for you. You are made for so much more. God's never done. He always has a next thing for you. And for every single person, the next is for you. Because it's good. And it ain't going to be a bad next. It's always going to be a good next. In closing, and I'm not like my dad, I only have one closing. Okay? There's a great thing about this question, what if? Okay? What if, the great thing about the question is it's truly a timing question. If you're asking what if after the opportunity has already passed, it's a sad question. But if you ask what if before the opportunity comes, it's a call to action. And it's an opportunity to rejoice. Watch. You don't, I'm going to use sports. I'm going to stay in my lane. I know better. I have one year left to do the best I can. I skip weights. I don't go to practice very well. I do everything average. I'm over here at the end of that year. Man, what if I'd have gave it my all? What if I'd have done better? That's a haunting question because you can't go back. It's a haunting question because you can't go back. I'm at the beginning of that year, and I'm thinking to myself, what if I went all in? What if I give my absolute all this year? Then that's the mindset I'm attacking this year with. This question's a timing question. I tricked you. I'm sorry. You'll get over it. I asked you what if, as if this opportunity had passed. But God's a redeemer of the time, so the opportunity is right now. So now I'm asking you, what if? What if now you began to press all in? What if now the thing that's been making you frustrated, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, because there's a point where sin in your life gets to a point where you don't even like it no more, but it's just there. And you just keep, you're in that cycle. You might need that chain broken off. You might just be petting it. You don't know what. Like, what if? Or maybe you think you got time. Listen, that sucker ain't promised to nobody. Ain't promised to nobody. What if, though? So now you have the question at the beginning, an opportunity. That ought to make you rejoice a little bit.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.